Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you're back and joining us today. Right now, we have a very special guest, Vicki Robin. Now, I first came across Vicki probably 25 years ago. She co-authored a classic book that you may have heard of called Your Money or Your Life. And I read this book and I underlined it. In fact, I have my copy from back then right here in my hot little hands. It's all, you know, darkened paper and little ratty-eared, but it's a really good book. I learned a lot from it, and I think it really has informed me through the years in my relationship with money. And in fact, this year, this book has been updated by Vicki and just re-released in a 25th anniversary edition. And she's getting a lot of press right now. She's on the cover of Money Magazine this month, May 2018, and she's been called by Money Magazine the Millennial Money Whisperer. So I'm going to ask her about that in a few minutes. Vicki offers just some really radical, common sense approach to money and stuff and time and meaning, what's meaningful in life, and really inspires people to think deeply about life and what's really important and to act with integrity. And she teaches a 9-step program to financial independence. And you can learn more about her at VickiRobin.com, VickiRobin.com. And you can also look at YourMoneyOrYourLife.com, both really, really great resources. Vicki, thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to be with you again, Allison.
Yeah, Vicki actually was the host of a co-host of another summit on money that we did about, gosh, four years ago, and so we got a chance to work together then. And you've been busy. You've been doing really a lot of things, and the thing that seems most up right now, I'm really curious about this new nickname you have, the Millennial Money Whisperer, that was what Money Magazine called you. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I find it somewhat ironic. You know, I didn't make that term up, but I actually like it because even though I'm known for a very specific, concrete 9-step program that is embodied in Your Money, Your Life, that actually allows you to get out of debt and save money and eventually become financially independent if that's what you choose, but at least financially independent in your mind, you know, like weaning your mind from the tit of the dominant consumer culture, being able to be an authority in your own life about what needs to be there and what needs to not be there at the material level. So even though I'm noted for this very sort of left brain course, I actually feel like what I'm bringing to this movement, especially at this point when I'm 72, older, wiser, hopefully, is this quality of the inner dimension of money. Our thoughts and feelings and attitudes and beliefs, and not so much. I mean, there's plenty of people who try to help you alter your thoughts and feelings and attitudes and beliefs about money, and it's important work, but where I go with it is a deeper level of soul and self. And so I'm sort of whispering to money, to people from that soul perspective about who are you really? What's important to you really? What do you want to do, as St. Mary said, with your one wild and precious life? Is how you're earning and spending and investing money, is that aligned with who you really are? And if not, no shame, no blame. But there is a quality of existence that comes when you are fully in alignment. Your material life expresses your spiritual life with as much accuracy and kindness as possible. And so also to be a whisperer is actually to be a listener, you know, like the horse whisperer is actually tuning in to the horse. It's not so much, you know, standing there by the horse's ear and whispering things in the ear of the horse so the horse will behave. It's actually being a human who's in relationship with the animal with full respect for who the animal is. And I feel like that's also who I am. I'm never trying to tell people the right way to be with money. I'm just saying that you have a relationship with money. And the deeper you go with understanding money in your life, the more your life will shine. And as a matter of fact, you know, money is a wonderful meditation, because every time you earn it or spend it or save it or invest it, you're expressing your values. You're expressing who you are. And so I'm tuning in to the essence of who you are and inviting you to have that sort of the golden glow that isn't money, it is self. So that's what I make of millennial money whisperer. I really don't know what they thought when they wrote that term.
but it sounds like, you know, because it's not about the your end of things, and that you figured it out, and it's only relevant for a particular group of people, that because you are, your message really is has a universal quality to it, that it really, you know, it could be accurate. You know, it sounds like it's accurate that you're able to whisper to anybody, because there is that back and forth and give and take, rather than you having all of the answers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It's actually a very feminine aspect of money. You know, it really is. It's not pointed. It's spacious. And that actually has a feminine quality.
Yeah. And there's that quality woven throughout your book as well. And, you know, you just, as I mentioned, you've just recently updated Your Money or Your Life and re-released it again after 25 years. And I'm curious why. And if you could tell us, you know, what are some key things that are different and changed? And, you know, along the way, please tell us about a little bit more about the book. You already mentioned it's got the 9 steps. And what else can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the book embodies this 9-step program that was developed by my co-author, Joe Dominguez, in the 1960s for his own early retirement. And for him, it was just a common sense approach to money. It's like having enough made sense. You know, like, why would you work to have more money than you need? That doesn't make any sense. He used to say that your money life is sort of like your military service. You know, you pay obeisance to the money system, but then there's more to you than money. So we taught that program in the 1980s, and then it got embodied in the book, Your Money or Your Life. And my passion for actually participating was because I came to see in the late 80s that consumerism, we all consume from birth to death. That's, you know, the nature of interconnected reality, is we're all feeding one another. Consumerism is a religion of consumption. And it's actually the only shared religion of North America. I mean, it's the only thing that left and right and center and Christians and Buddhists and all of the people actually get involved in is consumerism. So we understand it. We were invited after 9/11 to go buy a tie or something, you know, if you want to defend the country, you know, defend consumerism. So I came to understand that consumerism was the biggest threat, you know, in terms of the environment and, you know, in terms of climate disruption, et cetera, all of these things, toxicity in the environment, the plastics, all of this is related to this whole process of buying more than you need and being sort of a conduit, the one-way conduit of resources out of the body of the earth and through your life momentarily and then into the dump. So that was the first impulse. And we really thought we were going to solve this problem in the 1990s, really thought by the year 2000, we would be able, through Your Money, Your Life, because we knew for a fact, the people who follow this program, on average, they reduce their consumption naturally by 20 to 25%, because what falls away is all the stuff you don't need, but you pay money for anyway. So we really thought we were going to solve the problem. And when we didn't, by the year 2000, Joe had passed away 3 years earlier from cancer, and I became disillusioned with my own story that we could solve this thing. And so I went on to many other things. I have done many social innovations around sustainability and connectivity, human connectivity, and also local food. I worked on Transition Town Movement. I wrote a book about becoming a local eater called Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. So I spent about 15 years doing other things because I thought I did my best in the 1990s with Your Money, Your Life, and it didn't make the difference I thought it was going to make, even though it made a huge difference in the lives of like a million people. But then a couple of years ago, I was at a conference and I heard a speaker talking about consumerism and how we have to change and what the possibility is. And I thought, I was feeling like, boy, you know, tell me something new. What you're saying is stuff that we knew back in the 80s. And I realized that old thing about, you know, when you're pointing a finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you. I thought maybe it's mine to revive this work. So I convened a session at this conference and half the people came. We just did a go around and just like, why are you here? What's your relationship with money? And one notable thing was that everybody from the richest to the most in debt was in fear about money. I thought, that's really interesting. This thing that is essential for our lives in modern society induces fear in everybody. I mean, you know, when you're older and you've actually put together your what you think is a good retirement plan, you could outlive it. I mean, nobody, you know, the safety net in this country is so neglected, at very least, that people are quite insecure despite our wealth. And then it came around to a couple of young people, you know, people in college, and one young woman said that she was already $20,000 in debt, and she was just taking on faith what her boomer parents had told her, that don't worry, you know, if you take on debt now, you will be able to pay it back because of your profession later. And I realized that the world had changed financially and that these young people, number one, when I went to college, my parents paid for it and it really wasn't that expensive. I thought, our young people are taking on massive debt for professions that may disappear before they graduate. And I had this like revulsion about what kind of society turns its banking system on harvesting what I consider to be the organs of young people. I mean, we're feeding off of the energy of our youth by indebting them, and it becomes a profit center for the banks. And I thought, this is so wrong. And these young people didn't know, only the gray hairs in the room knew about Your Money, Your Life. I thought, I'm going to do it. I'm going to update this book in service to millennials. I'm going to help them out. And then I did some focus groups, just like while I was considering whether to do the project. And I talk to people. They don't know if they can ever move out of their parents' house. These are not gamers who are living in their parents' basement and eating potato chips. These are like smart young people who just can't fledge. They don't know if they're ever going to be able to buy a house. They don't know if they're ever going to be able to get married or have children because their financial future feels so unstable. So many of them are participating in the gig economy, which sounds like pretty darn smart, except you know, Uber drivers are like netting $10 an hour. I mean, you can work that system, you know, by walking dogs and participating in TaskRabbit. TaskRabbit.
Uh-huh.
You can do that, but you're just peddling to stay in place, and you'd have no health insurance, because our health insurance is tied to employment in the corporate America. So it's like, this is a big jip. And I know that the program in Your Money, Your Life can help. So that's why I chose to update the book. And soon after signing the contract and starting the process, I actually hired a young man in his early 20s who is a personal finance ninja. I call them personal finance ninjas. They were like fascinated with 401ks and like, you know, all these different ways to like travel hack and save money. I hired him to be my sort of millennial sidekick so that I wasn't just a boomer trying to like imagine what a millennial felt like. And he told me, you know, there's this thing called Reddit, and I had never heard of Reddit, and there is a financial independence subreddit, and Your Money, Your Life is all over it. There's 350,000 people on that subreddit. I thought Your Money, Your Life had disappeared into the sands of time, and I was going to revive this, you know, sleeping giant. And there's 350,000 people on this subreddit, and I went on, and of course I searched for my name or Joe's name, and it was all over it. Your Money, Your Life is a core text for this new crop of people who are trying to get their money under control and get out ahead of the game and retire early. They call it FIRE, financial independence, retire early. I was stunned, and then I connected with some of the leaders of the movement. There's a man named Mr. Money Mustache, Peter Adney, who he has like a million followers or something, and he'd written a blog post about Your Money, Your Life, and he actually ended up writing the preface to the new edition of Your Money, Your Life. And then I found the mad scientist, they call FI, Financial Independence Phi, that people want to get Phi. And the mad scientist was a guy who like did tax planning, and people were like big devotees of him because he helped them see how they could minimize their tax bill. There's so many people. Jim Collins has a book called The Simple Path to Wealth about the preferred strategy of these folks, which is index funds. And you know, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, I've met hundreds, literally hundreds of the followers of this path now. And one of the bloggers said, "Oh my God, you're like Eve of Adam and Eve." I like, you know, Adam died and Eve disappeared, and then, you know, gray hair with twigs in her hair, you know, she stumbles off this island in the Pacific Northwest. All of it is sort of mythic. But I will say that this whole project, ever since I said yes to it, has been blessed. This FIRE community is very
On
welcoming.
fire.
Yeah, they're very welcoming. They're very generous. They're very smart. Many of them white engineering types, really left brain, because it's left brain people who can take a look at the system that the book presents and go like, "Oh, that's easy. I'll do it." So, but they're doing it, and so I'm. This publication. Oh, and then just one other story is that right after I found out that there was this subreddit called Financial Independence, somebody sent me a link to an article that was on CNBC Money, and I thought, well, that's nice. Some young man said he had $2 in pocket, and then he was a millionaire by the time he was 30. And but he said, "I've read all the financial books, and Your Money, Your Life is the best one." So I thought, ah, I wonder what happened on Amazon. I go over and it's number one of all categories, everything, number one on Amazon. So I contacted him. I said, "Dude, you know, like, who are you? Like, what is this about? You know, somebody who has that power to drive this, you know, old lady book, you know, this, it's not an old lady book, but I mean this ancient text up to number one." And he was like, "Oh my God, it's you." And he said, "I want to build a platform." And I said, "Like, is that like a website?" You know, I didn't understand. It took him 6 months to explain to me what a platform was. But basically, it's an online home for everything associated with FI, with financial independence and with Your Money, Your Life. And so he's my business partner now, and he's built this platform that's yourmoneyyourlife.com. And it's super exciting because now I'm working in partnership with him and a bunch of other people in their 20s and 30s who are passionate about this path, and I am on fire again. So that's the brings you up to date with how this has evolved.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, I looked before this interview, I looked at this website and I thought, oh, you know, I've been back and forth with you over a number of years. And, but when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, look what she's doing. It's a really great website. And I encourage everybody to go visit, yourmoneyoryourlife.com. There's great resources and all kinds of goodies there. So just a little plug for your work there, Vicki. I'm wondering, you know, we're talking about sort of how this is relevant for the younger generation, and I'm wondering if you can bring it back to what is financial independence, how it relates specifically to more our audience, women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s and beyond, and how are maybe some of the 9 steps, I don't know if you need to go through all 9 steps, but if you can kind of give a brief outline of how your work or the work that's set out in the book, Your Money or Your Life, is relevant for people in that stage of life.
Yeah, so basically the 9-step program is a process of, it's a very simple process of facing the reality of your financial life, doing a balance sheet, and understanding an understanding of money that is different from most of what you've learned, which basically says money is just simply something you pay for with your time. You know, money is your life energy. And the exchange is not as good as you think it is because there's a lot of costs, time and money costs, to making that, whatever it is, $20, $30, $50 an hour. So you have to factor that in. And as you spend money, you think about it in terms of life energy invested. And in terms of, like, is this making me happy in proportion to the amount of life I've invested in it? Because what we say is, in this society, we can so deeply identify with the money we have, the money we earn, our position as far as our professions or our jobs, you know, what we do to make money, you know, ends up being who we are, how we identify. And basically, as I said earlier, it's sort of the source of all our fears because we're never sure how much is enough. And so the program in Your Money, Your Life is this sort of tracking of how you spend your life energy, evaluating whether the money you're spending is buying you a life you love, letting go of forms of consumption that are not really bringing you happiness, and in the process, reevaluating, you know, who am I really in this world? What do I really want? And as you do that reevaluation, you find more and more ways to not participate in consumerism and find your joy in friendships and service and art and things that are non-monetary, but, you know, like the best things in life are free. It's only the second best things that cost money. So anyway, that's the process. And in the process, people will, because of this natural process of saving, they will lower their expenses, they will get out of debt, and they will have savings. And eventually those savings may produce a wealth that you can invest and live on the returns on your wealth, live on passive income instead of active income, making money. Now, how is this relevant to older people? One of the things that I expanded in this new edition, and I think when you get to be in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, this becomes completely obvious, is that money is not the only form of wealth. And this is not like the booby prize, like, well, money is not the only form of wealth. You have so little, but you have so much in other ways. No, it's actually true. And that I call it the ABCs of wealth. A is your abilities, the things you can do yourself that you can do for yourself, you can do for people you love, you can monetize. And so many people by this time in life have a lot of skills. And, you know, people, women who raise their families and return to the workplace start to discover that the skills they developed as a householder and as a mother are actually skills that are very necessary, from systems thinking to project management, you know, like managing 3 teenagers is a big skill. So basically, A is your abilities, and it's a way to see yourself not as like, I am not making money in the money world, but you start to see what your wealth is in terms of your capacities and your competencies. B is for belonging, and it is the people who will show up for you, the friends in need are friends indeed, you know, whether it's family or friends, but that's intimate circle who will see you through the tough times in life and celebrate your big, you know, your wins and grieve your losses. And this is a very important group, because if you don't have these people, then it's very costly to get the help and the services that you need. And then the C is for community, and that's the wider circle. That's the town you live in or the city you live on or your city block. And it's also the social services that the web, the social web that exists that can hold your life. And both the formal one, you know, social services through the government, and the informal one, these networks. You know, in my community, we have a very dense network of mutual aid. It's also, C for community is also where you live. You know, are you in a place where you could grow food? Are you in a place where, as the climate disruptions come, that it's going to be safer than other places? And so you think about wealth in this way, and you realize that, I call it the ABCs, and that little S on the end is your stuff, you know, your money and stuff. So we have the capacity, because we're more mature, to really examine what our other forms of wealth are and increase them. And increasing them doesn't mean working harder. It just means lifting up what's in the background and understanding that maybe you didn't become the CEO of XYZ Corp, but you have this wealth, and this wealth is going to see you through to the end. We have people in our community who are living on Social Security because they forgot to save, as many of us did. And but because of the B and C, because of their sense of belonging and because of the social services and the opportunities for service, they feel like they cannot fail. They will not fall. There is a safety net there through which you will not fall. And one of the fears that I realized in that group of people a couple of years ago who went around the room and they were all in fear, comes from loneliness, comes from, I'm on my own. This is a yo-yo society. You're on your own. And I'm saying, we're all in this together. Wait, we're all in this together. And the more you have the we're all in this together wealth, the better it's going to be. And even people later in life, I mean, there's a whole movement of, you know, older women moving in, you know, buying a big house together and moving in together. You know, people are, it's like DIY aging, where you're figuring out, rather than depending on being warehoused by some very expensive system, people are figuring out, how do I weave myself in a way that expresses me, that isn't just me slotting myself into their, you know, square pegs or round holes or whatever. I think if you stay creative and you stay awake to opportunities, which is really, when I say financial independence, for me, the biggest thing is freeing your mind. That's the freedom that we want, is to free our mind from the consumer messages, from the assumptions about ourselves, from the assumptions about other people, from the fears that we have that we're all alone and that people are against us. It is that freedom. And by looking at your transactions with money, you actually can see those places of fear and insecurity, anger, victimhood. You get to see those because your transactions are revealing those to you. And that's where we can work. That's what we can shore up as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Vicki, this is such a rich conversation, and we're running out of time already. So I want to ask you one last question. And before I do, again, just really encourage people, go check out Vicki's book, Your Money or Your Life. Look at yourmoneyoryourlife.com. You'll from listening to this conversation, you know if what Vicki's saying resonates with you. I have a feeling it resonates with a lot of people. So this is a thread that you may want to be following. I know that we could spend a lot more time here talking, but we do have some limitations, unfortunately. So, Vicki, you have all these years of experience, and I'm really curious about your answer to this question, which I've been asking to all of the speakers on the summit. If you had to pick one thing to recommend to all women in whatever financial situation they're in that would help them have a healthy and empowering relationship with money, what would that one thing be?
Yeah, so one of the threads in the New Your Money Your Life that I love is what we call money talks. And I've developed a series of 52 dialogic questions about money. When I say dialogic, there's no implicit right wrong answers. It's not left brain, it's not a quiz. These are questions about your relationship with money. And so they're in the book, the 52 questions, but they're also, we have a deck of cards and that will be available soon. So I would suggest that people, either from the book, from the questions in the book, or from this deck of cards, that you start a money talk circle. You either have a girlfriend that you're doing with, or a boyfriend, or husband, or whoever, and you use these cards, like just a card that might be a question like, what does money mean to you? Or who do you trust to invest your money? These questions, there's not a single answer. And what you find is, number one, you're not alone, you're not crazy, and other people have solutions to your problems, but we are less willing to talk about money than we are about sex. And revealing our money lies to one another actually lifts a huge burden off your shoulders. So I would recommend doing these money talks. And you'll find it in the book, and you'll also find it on the platform. Eventually, we'll talk more about it on the platform.
It's wonderful. I can't wait to go check it out. I've got to get a second copy of your book, this one 25 years later. So, Vicki, Robin, thank you so much for joining us, and everybody listening, go check out yourmoneyoryourlife.com and take advantage of some of the wonderful resources Vicki's offering. Thank you all. Goodbye.